Hello and thanks for joining us. You're listening to the fourth episode of the Citation podcast with me, Jill McAteer, Head of Employment Law at Citation. In this week's episode, I'll be joined by my colleague and employment law expert, Emma McGrath. Welcome to the podcast, Emma.
Thanks, Jill. It's great to be here.
We'll be talking about the recently published guidance on the new rules regarding right to work checks, which are coming into force tomorrow, 1st July. And we'll be focusing particularly on the changes relating to the employment of European nationals from this date. Welcome back to the podcast. First of all, I think it's important to remember why right to work checks are so important. All employers have an obligation to prevent illegal working within their business. And as part of this, they're required to carry out checks that the people they employ have the right to work in the UK before they start their employment. Employers can actually attract both civil and criminal liability for failing in these duties. It's a criminal offence for an employer to employ someone who they know or have reasonable grounds to believe doesn't have the right to work in the UK. And the penalty for this criminal liability can be up to 5 years imprisonment and potentially an unlimited fine. It's also a civil offence if an employer unknowingly employs someone who doesn't have the right to work in the UK. But if the employer carries out the correct checks before the employee starts work, they can avoid this civil liability under what's known as a statutory excuse. This is very important for employers because the penalty, if that civil liability rests with them, can be up to £20,000 for each illegal worker. So it's really important businesses get this right. Emma, the changes to the rules are particularly significant for businesses employing European nationals, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. So the freedom of movement for European nationals ended at 11 p.m. on the 31st of December 2020. And then since that time, European nationals arriving in the UK have to apply for a points-based visa or make an application under some alternative immigration route. Even though freedom of movement ended on 31st of December, European nationals already living in the UK at that time continue to have the right to live and work in the UK until the 30th of June 2021, so today. But from tomorrow, the 1st of July, their right to continue living and working in the UK is dependent upon them having applied for leave to remain under the EU settlement scheme. And I'll just go into a little bit more detail about what that is. So basically, under the EU settlement scheme, European nationals can apply for either settled status or pre-settled status. So settled status is indefinite leave to remain in the UK and is available where the individual has been continuously resident in the UK for a period of 5 years. Pre-settled status is available to European nationals who are living in the UK by the 31st of December 2020, but where they've been living for less than 5 years. So this status gives the individual the leave to remain for a further 5 years in the UK from the date that their application is granted, but they can then apply to have this converted to settled status as soon as they've achieved their 5 years continuous residence. But they must apply for settled status before the end of the 5 year period of leave. So although EU nationals were given a period of grace, basically up to today, the 30th of June, this is coming to an end today, and it's the last date today for applying under the settlement scheme. Of course, the rules are changing from tomorrow, the 1st of July. But Jill, do you want to talk us through the rules up to today's date?
Yes, in relation to European nationals, it is quite strange that because of the period of grace, when a business employs European nationals at the moment, even though freedom of movement ended at the 1st of January, European nationals can continue to show evidence of their right to work in the UK by producing their passport or national identity card. So for European nationals, that remains sufficient evidence of their right to work in the UK up until midnight today, the 30th of June. However, from tonight, new rules come in force on the 1st of July, and from that date, European passports or national identity cards will no longer be acceptable proof that an individual has the right to work in the UK. On the 10th of June, the Home Office published a draft code of practice on preventing illegal working. And on the 18th of June, the Home Office also produced further guidance for employers on how this code would be interpreted. This will apply to all right-to-work checks carried out from the 1st of July, including any follow-up checks for employees who were recruited before that date. The new code retains List A and List B documents, but changes have been made to those lists. The difference between the two lists remains that List A documents show that a person has no restrictions on their permission to be in the UK, and these will be documents such as either a current or expired British passport. List B documents, however, show that the person has a limited permission to be in the UK and to do the work in question, such as a biometric residence permit. In the case of List B documents, there will need to be follow-up checks undertaken to ensure that they remain entitled to work in the UK. For the full list, you can access the Home Office guidance, which is available in the show notes.
So Jill, what if the employee started work after the 1st of July, but the right-to-work checks were carried out before that date?
Well, the critical date, Emma, is going to be when the right to work check was carried out. So if you carried out your right to work check before the 1st of July, the current rules will apply. And for a European national, a passport and national identity card would be acceptable proof of the right to work in the UK. That's why it's going to be so important to not only retain a clear record that the check was carried out, but when it was carried out. However, even if you carried out your right to work checks before the 1st of July, any necessary follow-up checks after that date must comply with the new rules.
Great, thanks. And then critically, I'm sure employers will be wondering whether they need to ask European national employees whether they have settled or pre-settled status after the 1st of July.
Well, if the right-to-work checks were carried out appropriately at the time, the Home Office has confirmed that there is absolutely no requirement for employers to carry out retrospective checks on European employees. However, it's worth bearing in mind that this will only protect the employer if they didn't have any knowledge or reason to believe that the employee might not have the right to work. So, for example, if the employer recruited the employee from Europe after the 1st of January 2021 and would therefore know that they were not living in the UK and therefore did not have the right to apply under the settlement scheme, this would not provide them with any protection against potential illegal working.
Okay, that's good news for employers then.
Yes, but of course, there may be circumstances where employers discover after the 30th of June that they have a European national in their workforce that hasn't applied under the settlement scheme. And the government have recently announced some transitional measures, haven't they, Emma?
Yes, absolutely. So there has been guidance that's been published now. So that's saying that where the European nationals have reasonable grounds for missing the application deadline, then they will be given a further opportunity to apply. So there's some guidance on the sort of a wide range of circumstances where this might apply. For example, where the person lacked mental capacity or was unaware of the deadline for a variety of reasons. The guidance sets out transitional measures which can be followed up until the 31st of December this year, so 2021, in cases where the employee was employed prior to the 30th of June 2021. It's really important to note that they don't apply to individuals who are recruited after today, i.e. after the 30th of June. So under these transitional measures, the employer must, first of all, advise the employee to make an application under the settlement scheme within 28 days, and provide the employer with a certificate of application. Once the employer has got receipt of this certificate of application, then they must contact the employer checking service to confirm that the person has applied. If they have made an application, then the employer checking service will issue what's called a positive verification notice. The employer will need to keep a copy of this positive verification notice and the certificate of application. And this will provide the employer with a statutory excuse for a period of 6 months, enabling the employee to continue in their employment while their application is concluded. Before the positive verification notice expires, the employer must carry out a follow-up check with the employer checking service. If the application has been granted status, they will be able to prove their right to work using the online service. If the application is still pending, then the employer will be given another positive verification notice for another 6 months.
Thanks, Emma. After the break, we'll be looking at the different ways an employer can check someone's right to work. Welcome back. There are three main ways an employer can check a person's right to work in the UK. Firstly, by checking online. And to do this, you will need the job applicant's date of birth and right to work share code. Secondly, you can carry out manual checks of the candidate's original documents. This is usually done in person, although there have been some temporary concessions made because of the pandemic, and Emma will outline those later in the podcast. Thirdly, in specific circumstances, employers can use the Home Office employer checking service. Emma, this is probably the less common way to check right to work. So could you tell us a bit more about how this service operates and when employers would use it?
Yes, absolutely. So it applies where the person can't provide the employer with any of the documents from List A or List B. And they're saying that the reason for that is that either they've got an ongoing immigration application or appeal with the Home Office, or their documents are with the Home Office, or they're presenting other information that shows that they're a long-term resident of the UK who arrived in the UK before 1988. So if the individual is an existing employee, then they'll have a statutory excuse against liability for a period of up to 28 days from the expiry date of their existing leave. And this gives the employer time to obtain the positive verification notice from the employer checking service. This 28-day period doesn't apply to checks carried out before the start of the employment. So in those circumstances, the employer should delay the start of employment until they have received a positive verification notice from the employer checking service. This service aims to provide a response within 5 working days, so it's fairly speedy. And it's just very important that employers retain any response received to evidence their statutory excuse. The code also states that if the employer checking service has not considered an employer's request within 5 working days, then the employer will receive an automatic response informing them that the prospective employee may be hired.
Now, Emma, we have touched upon previously how manual checks of documents, which are normally carried out face-to-face, has proved very problematic for employers because of the effects of the pandemic. And the Home Office stepped in very quickly, didn't they, in terms of making some adjustments to that process?
Yes, absolutely. So particularly, for example, social distancing made it very difficult to carry out the usual checks in person. So since 30th of March 2020, there have been in adjustments to the right to work checks because of the pandemic. And that's now been confirmed to be in place until the 31st of August now. So what this allows is for employers to actually carry out the work checks virtually. So under this adjusted process, the employer should ask the employee to submit to them a scanned copy or a photo of their original documents via email or using a mobile app. They then arrange a video call with the employee and they ask them to hold up the original documents to the camera and check them against the digital copy of the documents that they received. The employer then needs to record the date that they made this check and mark on it that it was an adjusted check undertaken on X date due to COVID-19. If the employee has a current biometric residence permit or a biometric residence card, or has been granted status under the EU settlement scheme or the new points-based immigration scheme, they can use the Home Office online service while doing a video call. Now, as I said, this was due to end on the 20th of June, but it has been extended to the 31st of August. So that's quite a generous extension, really. And I think it's obviously reflecting the fact that employees aren't planning to reopen workplaces immediately. At the moment, obviously, we've got the new 19th of July deadline in or proposed date in place. And I know that there are even some sort of employer groups who are pushing for this to perhaps to become sort of more commonplace even beyond the 31st of August.
So when the government initially introduced the concessions to the right to work checks back in March last year, think it was originally envisaged this would be for a relatively short-term period, and retrospective checks would then have to be done for those employees who've been taken on during the period of that concession. But I think the Home Office position has changed on that, hasn't it, Emma?
Yes, no, it has. So the draft code specifically states that employees will not need to carry out retrospective face-to-face physical right-to-work checks for any employees who had this this COVID-19 adjusted check between the 30th of March 2020 and the 31st of August 2021. So when the adjusted process concession comes to an end, employers will have to resume face-to-face physical document checks or use the Home Office online service. So Jill, have you got any advice for what employers should be doing now?
Well, I think it's very important that employers are aware of what the new rules are and to revisit their existing procedures for carrying out right-to-work checks to make sure they're going to be compliant with the new system. And it's also going to be very, very important to make sure that managers are trained on these new procedures so you've got consistent compliance throughout the business. Remember, it's not just a case of carrying out the right-to-work checks correctly. It's also essential that you have got a means of recording this very clearly, and given the particular significance of the system which was in force at the time you carried out the check, even more important to make sure that the date you carried out that check is clearly recorded. These records need to be retained throughout the entire period of employment and 2 years beyond that as well. If you've got any concerns that your record keeping of right-to-work checks isn't what it should be and you wish to carry out fresh checks, it's important that this is done in a way in which doesn't discriminate against any employees. So this should be done by asking all employees to produce evidence of their right to work. Just on a final note, I'd suggest some thought is given to when you carry out the process of checking whether a candidate has got the right to work in the UK. If you carry out these checks at the very earliest stages of the recruitment process, you could leave yourself facing allegations that recruitment decisions were based on a candidate's nationality or their immigration status. The Equality Act Code of Practice recommends that these checks should be carried out at the final stages of the selection process rather than the initial stages, because in that way they can make sure that the appointment is based on merit alone and not influenced by other factors. They suggest that the candidate might be asked to produce his relevant documents when they're invited to an interview or when an offer of employment is made. It is, of course, critical to remember, though, that those checks must be carried out before they actually start work, because if they're not, the statutory excuse to avoid civil liability will not apply. We've come to the end of today's episode. Thanks for joining us, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed the fourth episode of the Citation Podcast, please feel free to leave us a review. If you're in need of the backing of Citation's experts on any of the topics discussed today, get in touch with us at podcast@citation.co.uk. If you're a Citation client, feel free to give our advice line a call. Alternatively, you can access our useful resources and guides on our website at www.citation.co.uk. Thank you and goodbye.